Please turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. This morning's message is not an expository type message, but it's a topical message on communication in relationships and in marriages. And I was really expecting a mass exodus between Sunday school and worship this morning, but I guess it was raining too hard. But you have the privilege of looking at the outline in the bulletin. So I tell you what, 14 points, that's a lot of points there in a message. But I'm grateful that you're here this morning, and we're looking at communication. In Matthew chapter 19, though, Jesus tells us, please stand for the reading of God's Word this morning, about divorce, and I'm going to, Lord willing, with His help, talk to you about some reasons people have divorces because of communication. Okay, Matthew chapter 19, beginning in verse 3. The Pharisees also came to Him, testing Him, and saying to Him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?" And He answered and said to them, "Have you not read that He who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.' So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate." They said to Him, "Why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away?" He said to them, "Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery." Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for Your precious Word. And Lord, we as a church family and families that make up this church family, we ask for help, Lord, in this world in which we live that we are to be witnesses in, Lord, and to tell others about You. And in many ways, it's how we live that can do that. So God, we ask help in our relationships in our church, and help in our relationships, in our marriages, Lord, so that we can bring You glory in how we live and how we conduct ourselves. Lord, help us to be different from this world for the praise of Your glory. Because, Lord, with You, all things are possible. You are stronger. You are the highest, Lord. So we cling to You and we praise You and we worship You. And, O Jesus, lover of my soul, Lord, we thank You for Your love, Your grace and mercy, that even when we mess up, Lord, if we repent and confess and turn to You, Lord, You're a God of mercy, and we give You praise for Your love. In Jesus' name, the name above every name, we pray in. Amen. You may be seated. Communication is so important in relationships and in marriages. You know, you can live together for 50 years and not communicate. That's not much of a marriage. Marriage takes communication. Jesus said, and God said in Genesis, and now Jesus, God in the flesh, tells us that God made it male and female, not two males and not two females, and the male and the female becomes one flesh. They leave father and mother, and they become one. Now, for you and I to become one in our marriage relationships, it takes much communicating. It takes a lot of communication to become one. Now, in a past message in this series, Encouraging the Family, we spoke about the differences between male and females. I just want to talk to you just briefly the difference between men and women in communicating. Remember, women communicate to get in touch with their feelings. When a woman communicates, many times they are sharing their feelings or they're trying to get in touch with their feelings. Secondly, women communicate to experience intimacy. When they communicate, they're being intimate. And between a husband and wife, intimacy is so important in communication. Now, men communicate to give and receive information. We're facts-oriented. Just tell me the facts and I'll make a decision. That's how men are made. And it takes two of us, male and female, in a marriage to be complete. Men, we need that intimacy. We need that feelings. And ladies, you need that make decision-making and the facts and the information that the men bring to communication. And yet, the Lord God says that in marriage we are to become one. We are to become one. Now, in this communication, I want to share with you the four horsemen of apocalypse in marriage. Now, this comes from a secular person that has studied marriage for 35 years. Okay? He's a secular person, but has studied marriage for 35 years and has studied it closely. Now, we can borrow truth, can we not? Okay? Even the secular psychologists and counselors knows that there is something wrong in America because of the divorce rate. So, in this study, I want to share with you four things that Dr. John Gottman shares, and he calls it the four horsemen of apocalypse in marriage. And it involves communication. For us to become one flesh, we are to communicate. Now, this doctor, over 35 years of research, can now, with over 90% accuracy, observing communication between a husband and a wife, with 90% accuracy, can tell you whether or not they're going to be divorced. But by the way they communicate. Over 90% accuracy. That's pretty good, isn't it? So communicating is so important. And along top of that, you can be married and still not communicate. So there's a high percentage that don't even communicate with each other. Yet they're still married. But over 90% accuracy how conversation will go and who will divorce by how they hold conversations with each other. Now this doctor shares that there are communication masters and there are communication disasters. Okay? I'm going to share with you these four predictors of divorce in communication. Okay, number one, criticism. Now there's destructive criticism and constructive criticism. This criticism in communication that causes disasters, masters of disaster, they point their finger at the other spouse and blame the other spouse, they accuse the spouse. They are continually having a critical spirit about their spouse and complaining about their spouse. And in other words, they focus on all the faults of their spouse continually. So criticism. Now the masters of communication, they say once they are criticized, they'll say, well, tell me more. I want to know more so that I can change and help in this relationship. That's what a master in communication will do. But a disaster in communication criticizes. Secondly, a disaster in communication, in defensiveness. Secondly, is defensiveness. Defensiveness is any way of warding off an attack. You perceive everything as an attack, and you want to ward it off. It's not allowing the spouse to rightfully complain about something. It's not allowing the spouse to share their feelings in any way. In other words, when you are defensive in a disaster in communication, when you become defensive in a marriage relationship, you're implying that your spouse is the cause of everything. You're Mr. or Mrs. Right. The other person is continually at fault, so you automatically throw up a wall and you're defensive in communicating. Now, a master in communication, in defensiveness, that, you know, they say, well, that's very interesting. Tell me more in what I can do. Again, I want to refer to you what Jesus said about many times when we're criticizing or when we're defensive. Remember that Jesus said that you must first remove the speck out of your own eye, the log out of your own eye, to remove the speck from the other person's eye. But when we are constantly with criticism and defensive, the other person is always at fault. We can't see the tree in our own eye, but yet we want to point out the speck in the other person's eye. Okay? That's a disaster. Thirdly is contempt. Third is contempt. Contempt is any statement you make to your spouse from a superior place. That's contempt. When you are superior, you're more intellect, or you're better than your spouse, and contempt is making any statement from that superiority complex with your spouse. It can be direct insults. It can be name calling. It can be, listen to this, one of the big things is correcting grammar. When you're in a fight, okay? I know none of you fight. I know that, okay? Just pretend you're fighting in your relationship, in your marriage. And the other person, me and Alicia do not correct each other's grammar because we can't talk English anyway. She grew up in Crowville, Louisiana. I grew up in Nebo. Well, you ain't done nothing. That's how we talk. But our children, when I have corrected my children, and even my sixth grader now corrects my grammar. Okay? That's one of the big ones in contempt. You know, superior, more intellect than the other. You're better, so you degrade. Everyone said, say degrade. You degrade your spouse when you contempt. And thirdly is contempt. The fourth horseman of apocalypse in marriage is stonewalling. Stonewalling. It's called listener withdrawal. It does not give the usual signs of a good listener. You know, a good communicator, a good listener will give a head nod and say, yes, and respond back. And the older I get, the harder hearing that I get, I find myself to really want to know what that person says. In the times that I didn't quite hear what they say, I will repeat back what they said to make sure I understand what they said. Okay? I ain't a master at communicating, but I'm trying. Okay? But a good listener acknowledges that, yes, you're listening. A stonewaller is someone that will go like this and say, and does not respond. Doesn't say nothing. In their mind, the game starts in 10 minutes. I hope she gets it all out. Okay? That's how a stonewaller may react And they get to where they do not want to respond because they don't want to make it worse. Okay? Stonewalling. How much longer will this my spouse talk to get it out, and yet refusing to respond? Refusing to participate in communication. Sometimes it can also be a long-term refusal in yielding to a specific subject matter in a marriage. Long-term refusal to yield, okay, can be stonewalling. Jesus said that a man and a woman become one flesh. And it takes communication. Constant communication. Sometimes a marriage can have great communication at the beginning, and then time issues and busyness of this world can cause that couple to quit communicating, and it gets worse and worse. Sometimes you're learning to communicate. As Alicia and I were very young when we were married, we had to learn. I had to learn to communicate with her. So sometimes marriages start off without communicating, but they get better at it. You see, by the way, it takes work for a marriage to work, right? It takes work. Toil and sweat. If you want your marriage to work, it takes work on your part. Now I want to share with you disciplines in marriage relationships. This can apply to any relationship within our church, but in a marriage relationship, these disciplines will help you. Okay? I don't want to leave the unmarried out. This can help in any relationship. Okay, here's number one discipline. Stay positive and compliment your spouse each day. Stay positive and compliment them. When Alicia compliments me, I feel like I could just do anything. Okay? Compliment your spouse. Number two, praise your partner as much as possible. Speak highly of them. Praise them as much as possible. I've shared with you before, and I'm going to share with you again. It just grieves my heart and my spirit to hear a woman degrade her husband in a Bible study or something like that. It grieves my heart to hear a man degrade his wife in front of other people or to other people. Oh, it grieves my spirit. Speak highly of your spouse. By the way, your spouse is... You know, that tells others how good you are at making decisions. You married them. Speak highly of them. Praise your partner. Praise your spouse. Number three, be humble and approachable. No stonewalling. Be approachable. Be someone that your spouse can communicate with. It's so important in being one flesh to be able to be approachable and to be able to approach your spouse. So be humble. Don't have a haughty spirit. Love is not what? Prideful. Love is not haughty. Love is being grateful and humble. Okay? Number four, forgive every day. Forgive every day. Do not let the little irritations of life build up and build up, but forgive every day. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. You'd like to turn with me there to Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. The Bible says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. So forgive. Be angry and sin not. Communicate with your spouse. Forgive every day. That can be with the little hurts of everyday life, the little love covers a multitude of sins. Amen. That's a proverb. It covers. Jesus tells a parable also about a man that a great king could have thrown a servant into prison. An amount that this servant could not pay. And he forgave him all his debts. Then that servant goes, leaves the king's presence, and finds another servant that owed him like $20. That servant said, I do not have it at this time. So he grabs that man by the neck, that fellow servant, and throws him into prison for that little amount that was owed. The king heard about it, sends for that servant, and said, you wicked servant, you was forgiven so much, and yet you will not forgive a fellow servant. And he delivered him over to the tormentors. You know, when we do not forgive, it torments us. We're the ones tormented when we do not forgive. And Peter asked, Lord, how many times do I forgive? Seven times? Seven means completion. It's a symbol of completion. There are seven spirits of God, which means God is perfect. Seven means perfection. Jesus said, wait a minute. Seven times? No. Continually, 70 times seven. Forgive. When you remember it, when it comes to your mind, forgive. Forgive. So what I'm trying to share with you this morning, maybe your spouse has done something horribly bad. And you have decided to work it out. And when that thought comes to your mind, forgive. Do it every day. Because God, His mercies are renewed every day. Hallelujah. Amen. Towards me. Towards you. Forgive as Christ has also forgiven you. Is it easy? No. It takes work. It takes work. Number five, stay committed to your spouse. Everyone say commitment. It won't kill you to say it. Our world is uncommitted. They're not committed to nothing. And it's shoved down our throats. But you stay committed. You be different. You stay committed to your spouse and to your marriage. And you be faithful. You be committed. Number six. Listen to understand. Don't listen to your spouse to be a judge of your spouse, but listen the best you can to understand when your spouse may be complaining. It's okay to say, hey, I don't like this. It's okay to say that. Listen to understand your spouse. Number seven, use active listening. In other words, repeat back and the head nodding and vocalizations and have empathy with your spouse with this active listening. Number eight, be assertive. Share your feelings. Use I statements. I feel that blank. I feel like this. I feel like when you said this, this is how I felt. Takes communication to be one flesh. Amen? You got to talk to each other. Talk to each other. Share with each other. Number 9. When issues arise, avoid the blame game. The blame game is nothing new. Seek solutions. Quit blaming. The blame game started when sin entered the world. Eve said, "The serpent did it. It's not my fault that I ate. The serpent." Adam said, "God, it's your fault. You created her and she gave it to me. Your fault, God. I blame you." So the blame game is nothing new. It's in our natural tendency to blame. But you got to remove the log out of your own eye. Okay? Seek solutions. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 says this. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. The Apostle Paul is sharing about the church, how we are to submit to one another in love and in the fear of God. And he uses the family as an example on how to do this. And how wives are to submit to their husbands and reverence your husband, respect your husband. And husbands are to love their wives as Christ loves the church and gave himself for her. So it takes a submission on both of our parts, male and female, in the church submitting to one another, and in the family submission. Submission in showing respect and honor, and submission to love so much that you'll lay your life down for that person to love and cherish her till death do you part. So don't blame. Seek solutions in humble submission to one another. Number 10. Give relationship the same priority and attention you gave it when you were dating. Ephesians 5:33 says this. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. Let the wife see that she respects or reverence her husband. Okay. Love and reverence. Don't you remember when you was trying to win her love, man? Huh? You was like what, like a banty rooster walking around her? Huh? Eighth grade? I was in the tenth. Don't you remember trying to win that love? Don't you remember, woman, actually trying to fix yourself up for him? You need to keep doing it. Huh? Boy, I struck a note then, didn't I? Come on, dress pretty. Look pretty for him. Don't you remember when you were dating? How you would do anything. You'd open the door for her to get in the car. Now what do you do? I'm going to get in there first. You know, I'm not going to get in the rain. You better, you know. Huh? Trying to win their love and their reverence. Brother Henry gave me something to check out for our church. It's called the Date Night Challenge. Keep going on dates. Go on dates. So give the relationship the same priority and attention you gave it when you were dating. Let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. Let the wife see that she respects her husband. Communicating. Becoming one flesh. No more two, but one in marriage. Takes communication. Now I want to talk to you as a church in whole, as a whole. One of the things I shared with you last Sunday, this, I'm going to share with you again. Jesus was speaking to a church in Revelation chapter 2. They were doing many right things. They were doing all sorts of things. As a church, as Christian people in the church. But Jesus told the church at Ephesus, He said, "Nevertheless, I have something against you." He said, "You have left your first love." Speaking of Himself. You know, many times in marriage you can get in routines and quit working at loving. Many times in a church, you can do all the right things. You may teach, you may serve, you may even have a position in a church. Do all the right things in the eyes of man, but Jesus knows your heart. So in your love relationship with each other, I want to encourage you, it's a lot easier with your love relationship with your spouse or your love relationships in your church family when your love relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is first and foremost. If the world looks at you, or your children can look at you and say, "Well, this is more important in my daddy's life than Jesus," or "This is more important in my mama's life than Jesus," then your love relationship with Jesus is not there. Because they live with you. So, are you with your first love, the Lord Jesus Christ? If your relationship with Him is priority, I promise you this. Jesus said, all these other things. You seek my kingdom first. You seek me first. All these other things will be added unto you. It'll all fall in place. I can give you 20 points on communicating. But unless you communicate with Jesus first, all this other stuff is just secular help that won't help much. Okay? Get right with Jesus. I'm here to help anybody. I'll be up here during the invitation. I'm at the back door at the close. I have a cell phone through the week. I'll help you all I can. But all I can is tell you about Jesus. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for Your precious Word. Lord, how we are to become one flesh. And Lord, help us in this. Help us to forgive. Help us, Lord, to not be lazy in our relationships, but Lord, help us to work at it. God, help us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Lord, help us to be placing it in priority, our relationship with You, Jesus. And may You receive all glory and honor in Your name. Amen.